They were back with vigour, weren't they?
They really were, and it seemed like there was kind of a pep in the step of the opposition. There was a willingness to introduce a big load of legislation at cabinet. I mean, it remains to be seen how quickly it all move throughout the rest of the year. But yeah, it was a good start to what will be a very busy year.
But out of the blocks quickly then, because these changes, we got more detail around the rule changes around immigration. So what are we looking at now?
So we're looking at a few different things. And this is the International Protection Bill that was brought on as a result of the Migration Pact in the EU. Primarily what the government is seeking to do here is speed up the timeline of the approval process. There'd be more powers for returns, but there was a fairly few other things like that, like what was discussed over towards the end of the year about rent being paid by people in international protection centres. Mm-hmm. However, this was quite overshadowed this week by almost a late reveal of this new measure that will be introduced, which will have a 3-year wait for people with successful applications to be reunified with their family. Currently, there are certain income legislation, as our income thresholds that they have to reach to be able to do this. It could take up to 18 months, but this will now be a mandatory 3-year.
Okay,
pause.
But it's a speedier timeline for the processing of an application, Patricia, and a 3-year wait then for family reunification. You're calling this, your party, cruel. Why?
So firstly, there's a commitment to a 6-month cycle for the applications, but whether or not the government will actually get that in place when it's something like 2 years at the moment with appeal. So that's one point to make. Once people have their asylum application approved and they have qualified for refugee status, they are now in this country. We have recognised that they can no longer return to their country because it is too dangerous. So we are basically saying, and you can't see your loved ones, you can't see your children, and you can't see your partner for another 3 years. That is unnecessarily cruel. And it's performatively cruel when just 1% of the inward migration that we get into Ireland is made up of family reunification. Mm-hmm. And that's something like, I think it was 900 people the year in 2023, 600 people in 2024, 600 people in 2025. These numbers are minuscule. And it's a huge block on things like actual successful integration in our communities, integration into our societies. Like, let's just put like a bit of like humanity to this. There's healthcare workers who have refugee status in Ireland, and they can't, they're caring for our loved ones in care homes and hospitals.
And this is how
they
we
can't
treat
bring
them,
their family
Seamus
here.
McGrath. This is unnecessary, cruel, says the Social Democrats.
Yeah, look, I think it's very important that Ireland approaches the migration issue in harmony with the EU, and we have signed up to the EU Migration and Asylum Pact. And Ireland isn't an outlier here. Other European Union member states are taking similar approaches. For example, in the UK, which isn't a member state of the EU, family reunification applications have been suspended. And as we know, the majority of our international protection seekers are coming in from the UK. So we have to be
why
very
not
careful.
Do that then?
We have to be very careful how we approach
if
this.
If there's a need to act in a synchronised way, why not go along the way of the UK?
Because that isn't the position of the EU at present. We have signed up to the pact. By June of this year, that pact will be up and running. And we as a country have to work in conformity with our EU partners.
We have a border with the UK, don't we, through Northern Ireland?
Yes, of course.
But so why don't we do that then? Because that was pointed out previously.
We can't be an outlier on this because that will create its own difficulties. And we have to put this in context. There were 13,000 international protection applicants in 2025. There were 18,000 in 2024. So the numbers are reducing, but there is a significant impact on this country. We know we are under severe pressure in terms of our services, in terms of our health services, education services, accommodation services. So we have to look at this in the round.
Why is there a need to tighten further if the numbers are falling anyway?
Well, it's still a system under intense pressure. And if an individual is granted asylum, if we are to say that they can immediately seek family reunification, that can multiply the number of individuals that come on foot of that granting of asylum. So we have to be mindful of the wider implications here from a social cohesion point of view.
Oh, okay.
Ireland, as I say, isn't the only one acting in this respect.
I take that point. Actually, an awful lot of people probably support that sentiment as well. And I get the sense that right across the political spectrum, even in Sinn Féin, you'd be supportive of these moves broadly, would you, Matt?
So I think it's very important to be just clear. What we have today is announcements. We haven't actually seen the bill yet. And over the course of the last year, I'm sure I've lost count of the number of announcements and in-depth discussions that have taken place in studios such as this, mm-hmm, about a piece of legislation that Jim O'Callaghan is proposing. over the course of the last year, there has been one justice-related piece of legislation actually passed, and that was
fairly
minor.
But you cheer all the announcements, don't you?
Minor.
You're not against any of them.
No, no. But I'm saying I don't want to see announcements. I actually want to see detail. And the difficulty is I'm chair of the committee that actually dealt with a very considerable piece of work in terms of a pre-legislative scrutiny around the International Protection Bill. And even since that, so that was the general scheme that was published by the minister. He's now announced about 5 or 10 different other aspects, some of which were announced in leaks before Christmas and seemingly have been dropped in today's leaks that we've had. So we'll look at the whole thing in the whole.
Yeah, so you're broadly in agreement with what the government is proposing,
no,
are you?
No,
would you go along with the Social Democrats and say that it is cruel to allow an international protection applicant go through the process, get their status, and then have to wait 3 years?
I was getting to the point. That was probably taking too long, because what this is essentially the quintessential dead cat that government have thrown on the table. So we'll talk about that, as opposed to their absolute failures.
Well, let's
to
talk
deal
about
with
the
dysfunction,
because it is an
dysfunction
issue, a serious
in the
issue for
international protection system. So what needs to actually happen in the international protection system is we do need to speed up processing times. The actual average time right now is 31 months. That's 2 years and 7 months on average for an application to actually be processed. After a decision has been made, there is no evidence at all that decisions are actually being enforced. And all the while we have obscene profit hearing taking place, where a small number of private individuals and companies are making absolutely crazy sums of money on the back of the Irish taxpayer. Government haven't been addressing any of those issues in any real terms. The processing times haven't reduced in any real way.
How will they?
You don't
Seamus?
Need
will,
this piece I mean, of legislation to increase the to
how
speed up
they?
The processing
how will
times.
How will they speed up the process?
The time turnarounds will be in legislation.
It will be
strictly.
That doesn't
the
mean
same
anything.
As assessment and needs are in legislation.
With all due respect, that means nothing.
Will,
climate targets are in
legislation
as well.
But this will also be backed up with resources. There are now over 600 individuals working in the international protection system. That's a multiplication of over 300% on a number of years ago. So
still
resources,
takes 2 years.
Resources are being applied to this.
So how many more will be hired?
There will be additional resources. The minister has secured additional funding to ensure that what has been announced can be implemented quickly. And as I say, it will be in legislation. There will be strict timelines and they will have to be adhered to. And the numbers are coming down. So I totally disagree with Matt that this is a system in chaos. It absolutely is not. The numbers are coming down. We are not in a position where we were a number of years ago where there was extreme and visible pressure on the system, where there were people sleeping in streets and tents.
Patricia
and so
wants
like
to get in here, and I'll come back to you on that a second. But let me read you a text from Liam, right? On your stance in the Social Democrats vis-a-vis the Fianna Fáil or government stance. Fair play to Minister O'Callaghan. I'll vote for Fianna Fáil because of him. Denmark has strict family reunification rules to protect its generous welfare state, limit long-term public spending and improve integration outcomes, particularly by avoiding concentrated migrant communities with low employment and poor language skills. There is broad political and voter support across both left and right for tight migration controls, driven by concerns about social cohesion in a small, high-trust society, as well as efforts to reduce forced marriages and chain migration. How do you respond to Liam?
So I would disagree on the whole piece around the family reunification not supporting integration. That's just not the case. When you have people who are looking back to their war-torn country and worried for their loved ones, they're not properly looking at their community where they're now living, and they're not prospering in the same way that they would be otherwise. And we have plenty of people who have refugee status in Ireland who are working in sectors that we desperately need them to be working in and contributing to society. And then we are just sort of mindlessly separating from that. We have a plethora of issues in Ireland. You know, we have a housing crisis and infrastructure problem, but this policy isn't going to actually change any of those things, the things that we really need focus on. That's not what's going to happen here. And that's why I suppose we've used the term performative cruelty, because it's not actually addressing,
any of the challenges within the immigration system. But the point Liam is making, be it right or wrong, he is saying that there's a growing sentiment against increased migration in this country.
Well, I think there may be, and I think that the government and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have a lot of responsibility for that, because we have had the Taoiseach and Tánaiste talking about the problems with immigration in this really broad sense, and yet we have a 2040 government report saying that we need a net immigration in Ireland by 2040 to sustain the systems that we have in terms of healthcare workers, in terms of teachers, in terms of all of these crucial services that we have.
And do you differentiate, when you cite that report now, between workers or migrants who might come with worker permits or international protection applicants?
The report has just said we need inward migration.
But do you make a difference?
Well, we have obligations under our international, like we have legal obligations to accept people who are seeking international protection, you know, under the Geneva Convention, obligations
for people
seeking
war-torn
countries.
Because we were told for 2 or 3 years in a row by people in government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that we had legal obligations. Now they seem shot.
Well, no, I mean, we are working in conformity with EU progress on this issue. And by the way, listening to Patricia, I'm not clear on the Social Democrat position in relation to family reunification. She hasn't clarified that. It would be interesting to hear their position on that.
How are we in conformity with our legal obligations at 13,000 when we were told we have to take 18,000 and more? More. That's what you were telling us before the general election for the last couple of years.
Changes happening across Europe in relation to migration, and we have signed up to the EU pact, as I said. So all countries are tightening their position in relation to migration. I was watching a show over Christmas on TV in relation to Germany, and 10 years ago Germany pretty much had an open border. It is radically different.
Did we
now.
Take too so many Ireland migrants in this country for the last 2 or 3 years?
We were under intense pressure, and yes, I believe we did. It has to be remembered, the vast majority of international protection applications are still rejected.
Yeah.
A very high percentage
when
on the first
When did it dawn
on
Fianna Fáil? Is that the Fianna Fáil position, that we did take too many migrants over the last
year? Our system
years?
Wasn't efficient. Too many people were in
system
international
is different.
Protection.
That's a different question now.
Too many...
Hang on. Wait, hang on. The system being efficient...
You have to let me speak here.
Yeah, but
I'm the only government voice here.
I know, but what you said is important. The system being efficient is a completely different question to us taking too many migrants in this country, which is what you said.
I don't think it is a different question, because if people are here too long while their applications are being processed, obviously the overall number increases. We have over 30,000 at present. That is too high. We need to have a more efficient system. We need to ensure that applications are processed in a streamlined and efficient manner. So I think it is very much related. And the timelines that will be included in legislation, ensuring that the decisions will be made within 6 months, is critically important. Let's be honest, there's a financial implication here as well. In 2024, as a country, we spend over 2.3 billion euro in relation to international protection and Ukrainian refugees. So there is significant funding here.
Isn't it the truth, Seamus, that you in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in the previous administration burned an awful lot of goodwill with the public when, without public consultation, you bust migrants into a locality, taking the only hotel, for example, which was some gripes of various communities. They were telling you there were pressure on public services. You didn't listen to them. Isn't it true that you burned an awful lot of goodwill there?
I fully accept that there was goodwill burned, because the system was under such pressure at the time. The government had little choice. We had to find accommodation. The minister we have now is trying to ensure that we have a proper plan and strategy in place to deal with the migration issue.
Do you think those communities deserve an apology?
I think the government needs to get this right, and the government is working assiduously to get it right.
Do you think
what I'm saying
those,
clearly?
You said that goodwill was burned. You said you accepted the premise of my question that there was no public consultation, the public wasn't listened to, despite them telling you that there were pressure on public services, please don't take our only hotel, for example. Do you think they deserve, in retrospect, an apology?
There were clear examples where there wasn't sufficient engagement with the communities, absolutely, and that's regrettable. That is regrettable. But the system, it has to be borne in mind, the type of intense pressure that the government was under and the international protection system. And it's all very easy for the opposition to be taking political potshots at this. As a country, we need to deal with this issue and we need to face up to it.
Can I say something to you, Seamus? Sinn Féin actually took quite an amount of political flak because we actually tried to engage constructively with government in setting out where they were making fundamental mistakes, where you had a rural community that had already had all of its local services stripped away, and then they woke up one morning to find that their local hotel had been turned into a direct provision centre at huge enrichment to the owner of that hotel, but at huge discomponent to
the
local
community. But they had
to find space in fairness
to the government.
And this is the
huge
this,
numbers
and
are
this,
right.
And
that
this
that
here,
is a reality.
No, if you allow, you're after
reality.
Allowing Seamus there to okay, speak almost sorry. For five minutes and set out his case. Here's the fundamental problem. We have a system whereby now government are concentrating entirely on enacting the EU migration an asylum pact. And to try and do that, a piece of legislation, which is one of the most substantive pieces of legislation, not only to actually implement it by the summer, but to actually enact it. There isn't a hope in hell that the timelines that are set out in the International Protection Act will be in place.
Well, hang on.
That we will be making decisions within six months.
You're almost suggesting that they'll be doing this meekly. Have a listen to the Fianna Fáil Minister, Jim O'Callaghan. He's saying today that Ireland will not be taking in additional people under the EU Migration Pact, but will contribute financially instead. Have a listen.
If we're in a position where, with it across the European Union, there's a requirement to share out the responsibility for asylum applicants, we will make our contribution financially, which will mean we won't be accepting in people to meet our obligations. We're talking a figure in the region of 15 million euro or so in respect of it. It's considerably cheaper than the cost to the state of accommodating asylum applicants in international protection accommodation.
This is paying our way out of a Cade meal of Olja.
Well, here's the difficulty, because not only in terms of paying, but because we've signed up to an EU migration and asylum pact, that there isn't, as I say, a prospect at all that we're going to actually be able to adhere to. Rather than tackling the causes of the dysfunction that's in the system, we're probably on top of that going to be paying fines at some point to the European Commission for infringing an EU asylum pact that we didn't need to sign up to.
If we don't have the public services up to speed, maybe it's the right thing to do, Patricia.
I mean, so just to be clear, what the minister is presenting is just a part of the migration pact. It's not Ireland's idea. It's a solidarity agreement. They might use a different term in the migration pact. So that's just like a fundamental piece of the pact. This isn't something that Jim O'Callaghan's come up with. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of based on the fact that we're an island off the west of Europe and we don't get as many asylum seekers. And let's make sure we're always using the correct language, because we're referring in this case to asylum seekers and not kind of the overarching migrants. Mm-hmm. So that's just something that is proffered in the migration pact and that Ireland signed up to. So it's kind of a pretty standard, I think. And I just want to also just make the point around this whole thing around, we have seen trends and we will continue to see trends of asylum seekers from across the world as climate change, as war continues. This is going to be a trend that we see over the next few decades. We had the Catherine Day report, which talked about the six purpose-built reception centres, which the government never implemented. And so I think we need to, as we've heard, like, we've had this migration pact, which is now being transposed, but there's been many opportunities up to this point in Ireland, many reports examining the failures within the system that the government has had plenty of opportunities to act upon, and they've been really slow to do so.
This is going to remain a thorny issue, isn't it, Murray, for a while?
Yes, and I guess the Patricia's kind of touched on an issue there where government hasn't necessarily proven their record well in the last number of years with this. I mean, you referenced the Catherine Day report. There was even talk at one point about abolishing the entire direct provision system until the system did become overrun later in 2023. So, like, look, this is going to be a repetitive issue. They're going to be kept on their heels, I think, as well, by the likes of the media and the opposition, on reaching these targets within the migration pact. And another thing then as well is that should they not, they do face those incredibly high fines from the EU as well.
Okay.